This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
The FSOC process, but I think it's been important and basically working. You asked about Equifax, and, you know, of course, that is a very serious data breach. We would really urge consumers now to be very careful in monitoring their credit reports and financial situation. And through our supervision, we're working with the banks that we supervise to make sure that they take appropriate actions with respect to their business processes in light of the fact that there could be breaches or fraudulent transactions or information that they receive that they might use, for example, in credit determinations could be contaminated by bad data. And more generally, I mean, it points to the importance of strong cybersecurity controls and attention to cybersecurity risks, which we do see as one of the most significant risks to the financial sector, and we're very focused in our banking supervision in making sure that banks have appropriate controls in place, and the Equifax breach, I think, highlights the importance of that.
Well, you know, as we talked about yesterday with Michael Dougherty, our tech expert, Scott, you know, it really comes down to us being vigilant, and Janet Yellen saying the same thing, and trying to give us some comfort that, you know, government is in charge here. But, you know, Equifax and these other credit bureaus, the information that they gather and that they make available to these other businesses and make money off that information, which I have a big problem with. I don't think that that's their responsibility, that, you know, they take this information, sell our information, have it all right there warehoused, and leave themselves vulnerable, you know, to be hacked.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you also have things like the Washington Times earlier this week came out with a report saying that in an audit, 1.4 million illegals are working under stolen Social Security numbers, and the IRS did nothing to tell the people that they knew about this, and they did nothing to tell the people that had their numbers stolen. That's an issue, and that ties in with the Equifax thing. Equifax went an entire month without telling anybody that this has gone on. There has to be a repercussion for these places that they have our information. I never told Equifax that they could have my information.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell them that. Then the government gave it to them and said that, hey, this is how we're going to do this.
Well, the businesses that you were dealing with, because what they do is they send that information, you apply for credit, it goes to Equifax and the other credit companies, and they store it right there, and that becomes an asset for them, which, you know, an asset that they go out and they sell on the marketplace. But Equifax really blew it here big time. I mean, the reports are now in this morning's Wall Street Journal that the hackers were roaming around throughout their system for several months. This wasn't something that, you know, just happened. And then on top of that, don't even talk about the three principals that knew this happened. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they dumped their stock.
They dumped their stock, yeah. So
Not good.
But that's my thing is that, you know, yeah, sure, be vigilant. You should be vigilant about your finances anyways. That should be something that we're all learning in school. You know, hey, control your money, you know, and know how to use your money.
Right.
But at the same time, the IRS, if they know somebody took my Social Security number, shouldn't I be the first person they tell about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They should be telling me that. Equifax, I never told them they could have my information or sell my information to these places. They just got it, and they got it through the federal government. Well, there should be a huge repercussion that comes down on them for not reporting it.
Exactly. Well, no doubt about it. And, of course, this is going to, you know, hey, the Justice Department will fine them. They'll get a bunch of money. The people that are injured will get nothing. and they'll live another day. And, of course, they'll just charge us for the penalty that they're going to have to pay for their own incompetency. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. It keeps going round and round 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, why not, Don? You imagine if we got this country back on track, what we could do? I think this is what Donald Trump's trying to tell us here, in part, with a vision and a message that I think has been a long time coming. This is why it's resonating so much with mainstream America. Now we can only hope the rest of the establishment would catch up, you know, but it's going to be very painful for them to forego business as usual and, you know, suffer a little bit. Can you imagine that they would suffer at their own expense? But this is a government of, for, by, we the people, and we the people are in charge. If we hold on to our rightful position, that is the vision, and that's the hope. I mean, he did say on Inauguration Day in his inauguration speech that he was turning the country back over to where it belonged, and that's we the people. And if we're going to operate within the order and intent of our Constitution, that's what needs to happen. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. Amy Knight joins us. I've been looking forward to this conversation. She's written a book here, her brand new book, The Putin Regime and Political Murder. Yes, we're talking Russia, okay? Don't make Russia into a bigger boogeyman than what it is. That seems to be the order of the day, but we're going to try to bring some reason here. Amy has become the Russian expert, earned her PhD degree in Russian politics at the London School of Economics, where she has taught as well as stints teaching at the Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies and Carleton University in Canada, worked for 18 years at the U.S. Library of Congress as a Soviet-Russian affairs specialist in 1993 to 94, author of 6 books, and of course this is her latest, Orders to Kill, The Putin Regime and Political Murder. Amy Knight, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. Very well, thanks.
Hey, great to have you here with us to talk about, so much has been, you know, suggested about the Russians, about Putin. A lot of times I think that he must be excited because we have made him into maybe more or less than, you know, less than he'd want to be in the things that he'd want to be less in, and maybe more in the other things that more favor him. What do you say?
Well, I don't think Mr. Putin appreciates the limelight when it's negative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a focus on corruption in the Kremlin and some of the murders and killings of journalists and oppositionists that have occurred in Russia and outside Russia. I think Mr. Putin very much welcomes positive assessments of, mm-hmm. of his rule.
Right. And I think because of, you know, these kind of, you know, this kind of activity, certainly, you know, that has been conducted in his regime, the murdering of political opponents and that this is why America, you know, flinched, you know, so quickly when Donald Trump, you know, tried to give some space to Putin before he took over as president. And in part, I mean, I kind of understand why he said that, but I also can appreciate why people, even like yourself, that know Putin so well and are familiar with the regime, why this would be bothersome.
Well, you know, I understand that President Trump approached and continues to approach relations with Russia on a sort of a, we, you know, it's good for us to try to do business together. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it's also important to call a spade and to recognize that there's quite a lot, a huge amount of circumstantial evidence that points to a Kremlin role in the murders of, as I said, oppositionists, a defector in London, and so on and so forth. I don't think there is anything that the U.S. can do about that right now. Mm-hmm. But I think just to make it clear that we know what's happening is important just in terms of our entire stance towards Russia and the Kremlin.
Exactly. We have to know what we're dealing with. How many reporters and political opponents has Putin murdered?
Well, you know,
murdered, let's say.
I wouldn't like to put a number on it. Because, as you probably know, during the 90s in particular, there were lots of murders, and many of them had to do with fighting between different oligarch groups and involving the Russian mafia and so forth. And even after Putin came to power, this would still happen sometimes. So there have been, dozens of journalists, for example, murdered over the past 17 years. But I wouldn't say they all could be attributed directly to the Kremlin.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about narrowing down the category, then these are pretty much the people that I mention in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would include the journalist Politkovskaya, Alexander Litvinenko in London, Boris Nemtsov, who is a Democratic opposition politician. So, we're talking about, you know, I would say 15 people who've been murdered.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And
these are important because these are key, you know, these were key people.
Yes. These were people that were in his way. And you write in your book, these are mafia style killings. I mean, these are done in such a way, that, you likened it to a mafia style killing.
Well, yes, in the sense that, there have been, you know, after all these, following the murders, of course, the Russian law enforcement and judicial system started, you know, jumping in and saying they were going to find out who did it and so on and so forth. But the typical pattern is that they might, after, you know, a lot of publicity and everything else, find the trigger men, you know, the people who actually pulled the trigger. But then the authorities never seem to identify the person who orchestrated the murder or ordered it. And, you know, this is what people are interested in.
Well, you know, we heard a lot about Alexander Litvinenko and the poisoning. I mean, that was pretty well documented. And I remember watching this process that, I mean, you even saw him suffering, you know, after the poisoning. And then, you know, here he is. He ends up dead, you know, and it's right there in front of God and everybody. So how does Putin get away with this?
Well, you know, the Litvinenko case is particularly interesting because it took place, the murder was in London as opposed to in Russia.
Right.
So, you know, this meant that the Russians were actually extending themselves beyond Russian borders. And in the case of Litvinenko, it took a really long time for British authorities to actually do a thorough investigation. So he was killed in 2006. And the final hearing at the British High Court was in 2015. So part of the delay was due to the fact, and this is that the British government did not want to, badly disturb relations with Russia.
Okay, we got to leave it right there. We've got to go to break. We've got more from Amy Knight, the Putin regime and political murder. More on Bill Martinez Live.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issues, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com. Tonight I'm gonna fix my life. I'm the only hope that satisfies my heart. You are the one I'm running. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, it's Wait Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Amy Knight continues. Her book, The Putin Regime and Political Murder, Orders to Kill. Amy, before we pick it up where we left off, because that sounds quite incredible that it would take the British that long to figure out what happened with the poisoning of Litvinenko. But first of all, you know, who is Vladimir Putin? What is he about?
Vladimir Putin is a very skillful, intelligent politician. And he seems to be very clear on his agenda. He usually doesn't waver. He has a group of supporters around him who seem to, you know, go along with him, and he can count on them, although we don't know that that's always going to be the case. And but he also really is not a fan of democracy, freedom of the press, free elections. He really wants to bring back the old Russia that was powerful over different countries and states during the Soviet period.
Mm-hmm. And that's really his trajectory, right? Is to reestablish the USSR.
Well, yes, and not reestablish. He did say famously when he first came to power as president in 2000. He did say that the biggest tragedy he could think of was the collapse of the Soviet Union. I do not think that that Putin or his advisors aim to actually reconstitute the Soviet Union. In other words, to bring these different countries in Central Asia and the Baltics and so forth actually formally back into the country. But I think they definitely do want Russia to exert as much influence politically and economically over these former Soviet countries.
And that is the problem, that economically, as it stands right now, they are, I guess, can you say they're near bankrupt?
The Russians?
Yes.
I wouldn't say near bankrupt. They certainly have suffered an economic and financial decline over the past two or three years. Two reasons for that: the economic sanctions that the West imposed on Russia, and also the drop in the price of oil.
I was going to say, yes.
Russia depends very much on raw materials for its economy. So the Russians, yes, they're not doing so well, but I wouldn't say they're bankrupt.
Okay. But certainly with what's happened in the United States, what we've been able to do energy-wise, it's all had an impact, as you say. Oil not all that good right now for Russia, but yet they're looking south, you know, to have a bigger footprint in the Middle East, right?
Yes, I mean they're always the Kremlin is always trying to spread its influence and particularly economically and politically as well. Mm-hmm. But I would say that one of the problems with the economic situation in Russia, and this is what has caused some of the street protests, is the huge discrepancy between the vast wealth of Mr. Putin and his cronies and the low standard of living for the vast majority of Russians.
What is Russia creating? Are they creating anything?
What are they creating in terms of...
For GDP purposes other than the oil that they have? I've heard it often said that there's not much promotion of creativity and development in Russia. Is that right? Is that fair?
Well, let me put it this way. They have a very bad infrastructure. Because they have not encouraged private enterprise very much, and the state owns a lot of the oil companies and some banks and so on and so forth. So they are very backward in terms of their roads and, you know, their technology. So that has meant that they can't really compete on a world market for anything other than raw materials, which is oil and gas and
Well, I got to imagine the people of Russia. I mean, when you're squashing dreams and assets like that, that can only happen so long unless you're North Korea.
Well, now, but you have to remember that if you are a skilled, ambitious entrepreneur, you can still make a profit in Russia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have, and some, you know, have gotten wealthy, not necessarily by corrupt means. Mm-hmm. I would say the majority of the really wealthy oligarchs have been involved in some sort of corruption. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are opportunities in Russia. And then, you know, you also have to remember that in contrast to the Soviet period, Russians can travel and leave the country and, you know, live all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the media is owned by the state, and the television, I should say. And so Russians are fed a constant stream of pro-Putin propaganda. The elections are pretty much a sham. But still, if you compare it to the Soviet days, there's quite a bit of freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, when you win the popular vote, what, by 90%, 95%, all is good, I guess.
I should say that President Putin, you know, he's facing elections in March, and I think the Kremlin was quite unnerved by these unexpected street protests all over Russia last spring. And they now have a candidate who is in opposition to Mr. Putin, or he's declared himself to be in opposition, Alexei Navalny. Mm-hmm. And he's an anti-corruption crusader. The Kremlin really doesn't like him, but he started this campaign, and I'm not saying he has a chance of winning out over Putin. He probably won't even get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Because he has some criminal charges against him. But he's viewed by a threat. He's viewed as a threat by the Kremlin.
Well, maybe the Democratic Party might return the favor of some interference that he had on our last election. Maybe they might have fun with him on his.
Well, that's interesting. And of course, here in the States, that's pretty much what we're focusing on right now is Russian interference in our elections. And what's happening internally in Russia, and they're really beginning, I think this is part of the preparation or the pre-election period. Mm-hmm. They're clamping down on journalists in particular and politicians who are critical of Mr. Putin. So the environment within the country is not very good right now, but we in the U.S. tend to focus on, you know, what Russia means to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. You also in the book address the Boston Marathon. What role did Putin have in that one?
Well, Tamerlane Tsarnaev was the older brother of the two brothers who carried out the Boston bombings. Mm-hmm. And his family came from the North Caucasus. His father was a Chechen. So they came to Boston after 9/11. They came the next year. And Tamerlane joined them soon. And he apparently was on the radar screen of the Russian security services because they started asking the FBI about him. Then Tamerlane traveled to Russia unexpectedly for 6 months in 2012, not long before the bombings. The Russian FSB would surely have been watching his movements while he was inside Russia.
Exactly.
And they never even reported it to American authorities. He slipped through the cracks when he left the U.S. and came back. And had they reported it, the FBI might have known a little more about Tsarnaev, and they, you know, might have been more concerned about him.
Yeah.
I suggest that there's a strong possibility that while Tsarnaev was in Russia, he was actually radicalized.
Right. Well, Amy, we got to leave it right there. There's so much more to appreciate, but this is why you need to get your hands on her book. It'll be linked on our website, The Putin Regime and Political Murder, Orders to Kill. Amy Knight. I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Amy.
Report is brought to you by Bank of America. It's officially fall, which means football fans are lining up at stadiums across the country to cheer on their favorite teams. According to a Bank of America survey, of the Americans planning to attend a tailgate this football season, more than half plan to travel for a game. Jason Gaughan, Bank of America executive.
While traveling to away games can be expensive, you can offset the cost by using the Right Rewards card that lets you earn points towards travel on your everyday purchases. With the Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card, you earn 1.5 points for every dollar spent. Whether buying a morning coffee or a new pair of shoes, points that you earn from these purchases can add up and pay off in a big way when you put them toward a trip to your favorite team's away game.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected. That's bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And if you want a copy of John Piper's daily meditations, 120 daily meditations, titled The Satisfied Soul, got some extra copies. The publisher was nice enough to send them to me, so I want to pass them on to you. Just drop me an email, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Just that easy, okay? Make sure you give me your address so I know where to send it to, all right? Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Ed Derrick joins us. He is the author of the book, The Final Mission of Extortion 17, Special Ops, Helicopter Support, SEAL Team 6, and The Deadliest Day of the U.S. War in Afghanistan. Before we bring Ed on, I want to give you a little bit of his background. Writer, photographer, traveled to Iraq and Afghanistan numerous times to embed with infantry and aviation units at the front lines of modern war. The author of 4 books, including Victory Point and numerous articles on military topics ranging from counterinsurgency to close air support. Ed, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you very much. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing terrific. But, you know, wow, what an opportunity for you to be embedded with the infantry. Now, were you ever in the military?
No, I was never in the military. I want to make that real clear. Some people think that maybe I was, but I sort of jumped into a trial by fire. I was an independent embed photographer and writer, and I went over to Afghanistan with the Marines
What a special opportunity, though, to be in that kind of situation. And I'm glad you clarified that, because sometimes that's what happens in journalism, is though you're not in the military, you're embedded, but you're able to be the eyes and ears of the everyman and to be able to share the stories.
Thank you very much for saying that, because that's what my goal was. I didn't have any preconceived notions. I didn't have any agendas. I just wanted to tell the story of the warfighter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the Marine Corps and then the National Guard have been and other services have been very accommodating to me and to that, to be able to talk to people and to go to some of these areas where you get to see where I was able to see what really was going on and meet some people that really tell me the story on the ground. I mean, a lot of people try to cover the bigger strategic stuff, but I'm more interested in stuff that's happening for, concerning the individual warfighter and bring that reality to life for the people who don't actually see that firsthand.
Exactly. And Ed, when, I guess the public, because of video games or whatever, things we may see on TV, they're kind of set up in a certain way. But when you meet these men and women face to face and you see what's going on, you're able to perceive something that I imagine sometimes you go, how do I translate this? How do I communicate the objective perspective here?
Yeah, it's actually sometimes really difficult, but I thrive on it. Modern warfare is actually very complicated, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I was just speaking with someone recently, and I gave a talk last night, and most people don't realize that conventional operations and special operations work hand-in-hand these days, and special operations ground forces utilize conventional aviation regularly, as was the case with the Extortion 1-7 story.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the Extortion 1-7 story. Give us the background.
So Extortion Company was a unit of Chinooks in Afghanistan based out of Fort Operating Base Shank, which was south about 40, 50 miles from Kabul, the capital in eastern Afghanistan.
He says Chinooks, ladies and gentlemen, just to interrupt Ed a moment. He says Chinooks. We're talking helicopters here, okay? So that's what he means, all right? Okay.
PH-47D Chinook. It's a tandem rotor helicopter. And these guys supported Joint Special Operations Command, which has members of the 75th Ranger Regiment and SEAL Team 6, the actual name for SEAL Team 6 is Naval Special Warfare Development Group. But they supported these guys regularly, and they had an operation in an area called the Tangi Valley to go after this guy that they called Lefty Grove, Objective Lefty Grove. His name was Kari Tahir, and they inserted a group of about 52, strike force of 52 men that was centered around the 75th Ranger Regiment. And holding in the back in case they needed reinforcements was a strike force centered around SEAL Team 6 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they did need reinforcements, so they sent them in on one helicopter in a different route in a new landing zone for surprise. And they put them all in one helicopter to mass forces and to increase the element of surprise. And a couple insurgents that nobody knew about, they didn't know their location. They happened to be at the right place at the wrong time, and they shot the helicopter down. But that opens up a tremendous story, which I tell in the book. It's a story of stories where, you see the individual warfighters. It focuses on the air crew, the pilots and the crew, but also focuses on the mission, the helicopter, and in modern warfare and how these are actually conducted, how modern operations are conducted. And I also get into some of the intricacies and who the people are, who are the passengers, the SEALs, and the other special operations personnel.
Now, this, and you had SEALs that were on that helicopter that was shot down, right?
Yep. There were SEALs on board. There was also members of the 24th Special Tactics Squadron, which is, they supported these operations. It's an Air Force unit, part of Joint Special Operations Command. And so there was also some Afghans. There's an interpreter and some Afghan special operations personnel. And there was members of SEAL Team 6, but there's also what they call plain vanilla or East Coast, West Coast SEALs that were in support of them as well. So,
Ed, when you consider, the personnel and the assets that were, in these team members, I mean, these are high rated assets that went down on this, in this helicopter, right?
Yep. Well, it was a very important mission. They were trying to, the Tangi Valley is a strategic area It was very restive. The enemy really wanted to hold it, and so there was regular operations going in there and killing and capturing these guys. But then they would come up, you know, it was like a little bit like, you know, one gets killed, but then another will come in, and then they'll, you know, look, either capture or kill that guy. And so that's what they, that's what these guys do in these special operations in that area was, you know, they're constantly looking at intelligence, all sorts of intel from Pakistan, but also locally. They're doing a lot of intercepts in their cell phones and their radio communications, and they find out who these guys are, and they get an opportunity to strike at them, and they do. And that's what was going on this night.
Well, Ed, you know, when we got the news that members of SEAL Team 6 were on that helicopter that went down, I mean, this is the same team that killed Osama bin Laden 3 months earlier, right?
Yeah, well, this is Gold Squadron that was on Extortion 1-7. The guys that took out bin Laden was Red Squadron, okay. But they were all part of SEAL Team 6. That's correct.
Right. So, but nonetheless, again, the stories. Tell us some of the individual stories here that you talk about in your book.
Well, I talk about Dave Carter. He had over 4,000 hours in the cockpit. He's from the Denver area. He was an instructor pilot at what's called the High Altitude Army National Guard Aviation Training Site, which is a critical base. It's very small. Not many people know about it, but it's critical for teaching high altitude and mountain flying skills to pilots departing for Afghanistan. So he was an expert pilot. He was one of the best in the world. And I, you know, I tell his story from what got him involved and interested in flying. I mean, I interviewed his mother. You know, he jumped off a building when he was a young boy with wood wings that he built made of wood, and that progressed all the way up to becoming a Chinook helicopter pilot supporting special operations in Iraq and then in Afghanistan, and being one of the best pilots in the world. He was based here in Colorado for the Colorado Army National Guard, and then Brian Nichols graduated near the top of his class at Fort Rucker, where all Army aviators get their wings. And he has a tremendous story. His widow I interviewed, and she met him in a different part of the Army, medical reserve unit, and she helped him get his wings and get him interested in flying, and he ended up becoming an incredible pilot. And then he was involved. He was a co-pilot and in another Chinook helicopter that 6 weeks before was shot down. Another part of Afghanistan, but
Ed, we got to hit pause right now because we've got to go to break. We'll be right back. More from Ed Derrick, Extortion 17, The Final Mission on Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. We are going back to remember August the 6th, 2011. The U.S. Army Chinook 47D Chinook helicopter approached a landing zone in Afghanistan. The helicopter call sign Extortion 17 was on a mission to reinforce American and coalition special operation troops. Insurgents fired at the Chinook, severed one of its rear rotor blades, and brought it crashing to the ground. All 38 on board perished instantly in the single greatest moment of sacrifice for Americans in the war in Afghanistan. Among those killed, T-15 men from the Gold Squadron of Naval Special Welfare Development Group, or I should say Warfare Development Group, known popularly as SEAL Team 6, which killed Osama bin Laden just 3 months earlier. We're talking with the author of the book, The Final Mission of Extortion 17, Special Ops Helicopter Support SEAL Team 6, and the Deadliest Day of the U.S. War in Afghanistan. And Derek, because this was, you know, so incredible, I mean, as you note in your book, the single biggest, you know, and greatest moment of sacrifice for Americans in the war in Afghanistan, why else did you feel that this story had to be told?
Well, I just wanted I thought it was an incredible story that opened up. Really, the primary reason was to, you know, tell the story of the people of Extortion 17, primarily the pilots and the crew, but also having gone to Afghanistan four times and Iraq twice, and being around, you know, war at the front lines, and then coming back home and trying to explain it to people. It's a very multivariate process. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I thought this, of all stories that I've ever come across, is the best possibility to explain to the world the realities of modern warfare in a broad spectrum manner. Everything from who these people are to how they gather intelligence to, you know, some of the risks of warfare. Like even today in a, you know, very technology driven war, chance still is part of the battlefield, as was exemplified by the downing of this aircraft.
Exactly.
But, you know, I get in, this story opens up a window of opportunity to just really show the world how, you know, a full spectrum, what, you know, the full spectrum story of war through a story of stories, basically. Everything from how they plan them to the helicopter itself, to who these people are, from, you know, interviews from mothers, daughters, sons, widows, and fellow warfighters who, you know, were there at the time.
Exactly.
These people.
So, yeah, you're not gonna get this from a news report at all. So this is the advantage of being able to write a book and get into more of these details. You hinted that news reports were rife with errors. Go ahead and address some of these.
Well, some of the reports, you know, to include a couple books written, they said, oh, well, it was an Air National Guard helicopter, and it couldn't have been further from the truth. It was there were members of the Army National Guard who were flying. There were an Army reservist and the regular Army. I mean, just basic facts they get wrong. And then a lot of times they say, well, it was at first they said it was a Chinook from the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, which is a Special Operations Aviation unit, and that was completely wrong. And then other people said, well, why wasn't it a Special Operations helicopter? And that's just a completely misguided question, and that's rooted in ignorance of how modern warfare works, which is one of the many things I get into in the book, where you see conventional forces actively, regularly supporting special operations missions on the ground. And then there were some nonsensical conspiracy theories, and some other things where, you know, some reports about, you know, how long it took some of the people, how long it took them to die. I mean, they were killed instantly and painlessly, thankfully. And so it's just, there is just a broad spectrum of misinformation that just got sort of thrown out there. And oftentimes that happens because everybody wants to be first to report it. So they just make some assumptions.
Exactly.
But when you write a book, you get to be able to tell the in-depth full story.
And especially with the advantage that you have and what you bring as a journalist and somebody who has been embedded, has all this experience, and you're able to get into deeper detail. Ed, you mentioned several times here modern warfare. We know things have advanced the spectrum of warfare. This isn't your father's platoon anymore. I mean, with all the technology and the moving parts, there's a lot to modern warfare. What do you think is the biggest misunderstanding of the concept of modern warfare that most people have?
I don't think people understand the development, the intelligence process that goes into it. It's very complicated. There's imagery intelligence. There's all sorts of other types of technical intelligence, and how quickly it can be developed and how accurate a lot of it is. In the book, my favorite part of the book was writing about how they discovered and tracked and then struck back at the people who shot the helicopter down. And I get into detail about that. That it's never been told. That story's never been told before. I don't know why they did this, but the military released, they said that these insurgents were headed toward Pakistan. And in reality, they headed in the opposite direction, back toward the interior of Afghanistan. And I explain in detail how they determined who they were and how they tracked them. And then the blow by blow of when they struck back at them.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, I mean, in this kind of situation, you know, kind of a, in a sense, as you report, a bit of a blind shot, a lucky shot, but they're able to figure out who these guys were, which is kind of amazing because, you know, in that kind of situation, I mean, there's been other instances, like, for example, in Benghazi most recently, where there just seems to be a lack of information. You're saying, wait a minute, if they can figure that information out there, why couldn't they do it at Benghazi by comparison?
I don't know the details of the Benghazi story. And just to clarify, the insurgents who shot down Extortion 17, they had no idea who was on the aircraft. Mm-hmm. But what they did do, the insurgents who shot it down, they got on two-way radios and they started bragging about it. And we had intelligence aircraft on scene at the time, as they always do for these types of operations. And they intercepted those, and they very quickly identified who they were, and they began tracking them. And then when they got on their cell phones later on, they were able to determine who their allegiances were and who their commanders were and all that kind of stuff. And so that's how that began. So we know you have to have an intelligence asset, a technical intelligence gathering asset on site. So like I said, I don't know the details of Benghazi, mm-hmm. you know, like I know the details of Extortion 17 story.
Right.
But when you've got intelligence gathering aircraft on site, as soon as someone gets on an ICOM radio, two-way radio, and even if a cell phone's turned on or even if it's not, you can still track them. And if they talk on it, then they can figure out who they're talking to and all that kind of stuff. So that's what happened in the case of Extortion 17. So
and this is all part of, the modern,
yep.
the modern story, the modern military
yep.
Complex that
yep.
You talk
yep.
about, right?
Yeah, I get into detail. Everything, I don't get, too much into technical details. That's, mm-hmm. But, even noting a satellite, USA 204, which is parked right over U.S. Central Command in the, Middle East, South Asia area, where that allows for almost instantaneous processing of intelligence so they can determine who these people are mm-hmm. real time when something like this happens. And then some of the other aircraft and then how the fluid evolution of how Joint Special Operations Command units divide, come up with operations on the ground and then how those evolve and how those change and then how people like Dave Carter and Brian Nichols and the other members of Extortion Company who are supporting them and Chinook helicopters, how they fit into all this.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's a fascinating story, and I was very mm-hmm. fortunate to tell it.
Well, it had to be amazing to you because as you're writing this and as this thing is unfolding, I can imagine it's like you're pulling strings and then you get more information. This takes you to another link. I imagine also that, it had to be, when this conspiracy theory came out, we mentioned Osama bin Laden. And I recall
yeah.
when this was reported, they were saying that this was, revenge for, the Osama bin Laden, raid in Pakistan.
Yeah, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. They shoot at helicopters all the time. They shot at them all the time. I mean, there's so many incidents, but the vast, vast majority of these shots taken at helicopters miss.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, there's only been a handful that have actually hit a helicopter, notably in 2005, on June 28, 2005, during Operation Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
They shot down a special operations Chinook just by chance there as well. So, you have enough helicopters flying by, you take enough shots at them, and eventually you're going to get lucky.
Yeah, you got a lucky shot that hits there.
Yeah. There's no, there's no way they could have known who was on board that helicopter.
Right.
Absolutely no way.
So what did Special Forces Command learn from this?
Well, I mean, they did an in-depth investigation, and they turned up that everything was conducted professionally and tactically sound. In terms of the shoot down itself, it was just a lucky shot.
Mm-hmm.
And there really was nothing else they could have done. One thing I will say is that as the American forces evolve, we're always, the military is constantly increasing its potency, but also its survivability.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do that is through intelligence. And eventually we'll be able to know where all the enemy are at all time through certain types of intelligence, and we just don't have that. And we just don't have that capability yet. That's like a crystal ball.
Yes.
It's a fantasy at this point. But one of these days, we may have that. We're
moving
better,
in that direction,
better.
No doubt about
moving
it.
Moving in that direction.
Exactly.
And it wasn't something that they learned from this, but it was just an incredible example of that. Of how
well, and Derek, we got to wrap it right there. Final mission of Extortion 17.
Take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
frustrated trying to get